It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Schertenlieb, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. We love taking your calls. I don't look at social media during the show, so that's the best way to contact us. Also, the Odyssey app, just press that microphone, record your message, launches a take grenade. We play that in the 5 o'clock hour. That was Gary Washburn, and something he said in there got me very excited. Very excited. We were speculating about this yesterday when we found out what the rumored haul that Miami was willing to offer for Giannis was, and I said, that doesn't seem like a lot. And I thought, you know, maybe, just maybe, Brad Stevens might be trying to cobble something together to where you can keep the Jays together and get Giannis here. Ooh, now we're talking, baby. Now that gets me excited, real excited. Because I got to be honest, there would be a little bit of remorse if you know, Giannis came here and we didn't have Jalen. Jalen, as much as I don't think he's as
fellow
great of a
Atlanta
player,
guy, you know, that would hurt you a little bit.
And I love his, I do love him as a player. I really do. But we have with us Ty Windisch. He has been covering Giannis and the Bucks for Sports Illustrated, also with the Eurostep podcast. And Ty, good talking to you, by the way. I want to follow up on something that we asked you a little while back when we first had you on about what you believe the value, or the team believes the value, was for Giannis. When you heard that Miami was really only offering Tyler Herro and some picks, did that shock you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it, right now, I'll just say, I think there's a lot of posturing on all possible sides, right? Like, I think based on conversations that I've had with people who understand the Heat pretty well, is it seems like to me they've learned from the mistake of the Damian Lillard pursuit, which was thinking, oh, we're the only real suitor, we can now play hardball. Lo and behold, ironically, it happened to be the Bucks, who are now the ones selling the superstar, but someone jumps in, right, and takes that player, and they end up stuck in mediocrity, which they've basically been consistently for years now. They've been a play-in staple year after year. So I don't know if it's necessarily that they're holding back a ton. My read on this is more the Bucks are looking at their offer and going, okay, this is fine. I think this is like kind of the baseline, the minimum acceptable offer for a player like Giannis. And we said we would decide on this, maybe not execute the move, but decide on it by the draft. We've got 1 week and a couple hours. Why would we take that now if some team like Boston or one of these teams out west with all these assets, maybe they decide to get involved? And maybe if kind of the offer's out there, a team like Boston thinks to themselves, you know, we didn't want to go all in, but we think we can beat the Miami offer, and then that's better for the Bucks. So I kind of think the Bucks are just trying to draw out the string or play out the string, see who jumps in. And I don't know if Miami is necessarily hardballing here. I think they just kind of they have an upper limit to what they can offer, and I just don't think that they have a compelling enough deal for the Bucks to, you know, shut everyone else out unnecessarily.
We saw Windhorst from ESPN, Ty, say that Giannis wants his representation to have a seat at the table during this whole process. Does that make sense to you? Are you hearing the same? The agency wants to be talking with the Heat and the Celtics as well?
Yeah, it's not something I've heard directly, but it makes sense to me. And I think even going back to the deadline, it felt like, you know, and you never know, you know, 100% where everything comes from or how reputable it all is or anything like that. But You kind of were getting the yay or nay, it felt like, through back channels on various teams when they jumped into the ring. Like, you know, the Warriors kind of surprised me. It didn't seem like Giannis was that interested. And I think he wants to be in the East is what it seems like. And also, you know, playing with Steph sounds great, but there wouldn't be a whole lot left around those two out there in Golden State. I think Minnesota actually kind of got the thumbs up. It was a little unclear. Portland then and now seems to be in the thumbs down. Like, I would not want to re-sign there. And that, to me, feels like some combo of Giannis, and whether it's his agents, whether it's, you know, whatever, the family themselves being involved, it's unsurprising. I mean, he, the man himself, Giannis Antetokounmpo, has not been texting, I think, agents and sources and reporters to put out all this stuff over the last year, right? Like, of course, there's a lot of agent involvement going on. So not surprised to hear it.
Ty, I'm curious, you know, Giannis obviously better than we do. We just covered him there. If you had to guess, what team do you think you said that he wants to go in the East? But what team, you know, do you think he would prefer over the other? You know, the Heat or the Celtics, and why?
I think probably the Celtics. If you just listen to what he said about, I mean, one, you can, you know, with Ty, I think we covered last time, you know, the effusive praise for Joe Mazzulla in particular, kind of out of nowhere during the last season. But I think bigger than just Maz, it's, he wants to win titles. I mean, that's the reason, you know, I think he really does love Milwaukee. It's not that he wants to get out of town no matter what. I think it's just he wants to win titles. And I think, you know, he shares an agent with Bam. I think he really believes in the kind of Miami, you know, culture and their ability to build around him or whatever. So he's he's open to that as a possibility. But obviously, even if Jaylen Brown is going out in a deal, you're talking about now playing with Jason Tatum and Derek White versus Bam and Davion Mitchell. I mean, maybe Andrew Wiggins. Like, you know, they're talking about we can get Chris Middleton in free agency. Like, it just get out the same player he was in 2021, unfortunately. So I think just from that pragmatic standpoint of, like, where can I win more, sliding in next to another superstar on a team that just won, I think, 56 games, it's just got to be more appealing than going to Miami, even if you do believe there's other levers they can pull.
All right, we're talking to Ty Windisch from Sports Illustrated. He's been covering Giannis and the Bucks for Eurostep Podcast. We played a clip coming in. I don't know if you heard it. It was Gary Washburn. And one of the things that he had mentioned is that it sounds to me as if Brad Stevens might be trying to find some sort of way to get Giannis here in Boston without giving up either one of the Jays. Could you think of any kind of package that the Bucks would accept that didn't involve Jaylen Brown that would get Giannis here to Boston?
No. No, flat no. I mean, it would take, you know, is there some team that just goes absurdly over the moon for Derek White or Shireman or Hauser? I think even then, even your definition of over the moon, just because, you know, the Miami picks, right? So their offer with Jaylen is Jaylen going somewhere, a bunch of stuff that is close enough to Miami stuff goes to Milwaukee for Jaylen, and then Boston throws in some of their picks as well. The problem, I think, with Boston's offer in either circumstance is those picks just aren't going to be that valuable. I mean, their first this year is toward the end of the first round. Miami can give you 13, which is a late lottery pick, but obviously much better, especially in this particular class where kind of a top 20 or so, it seems like, is where there's a big fall off. And then the future picks, again, like, would I rather bet against Bam and Giannis in Miami or, you know, Jason Tatum in 2031 is going to be in his early 30s, right? Like, there's no guarantee that Boston is ever going to be bad in the when these picks are owed, and especially not if you're talking about there's any world where they can keep both of the Jays and Giannis. And, of course, that gives you some pretty crazy tax implications and stuff. Like, if we go down this road, like, I don't know if it's really feasible to have a real team in all three guys. When I said, I think everyone's posturing, I think this is some posturing from the Celtics a little bit to ease things with Jaylen Brown. But no, I would not be interested in that package. I just think who would want the 30th overall pick every other year for Giannis? Like, I wouldn't want to bet against that team at all.
What about a mystery team? Like, we've heard the Clippers and the fifth pick, and there's been some rumbling that maybe a surprise.
Orlando.
Ted said maybe Orlando.
Yeah, I think my thought on this whole thing is that's what the Bucks are kind of banking on, is either to make someone like Boston really go out there and kind of collaboratively figure this thing out where, you know, maybe the Clippers get Jaylen Brown and Garland and five go to the Bucks. Like, then you're talking about a couple premier assets. Or some other team like Orlando just jumps in directly with Milwaukee, right? And says, you know what? We see an opportunity. You think about Orlando. How long have we been mired and not able to get over any sort of a hump? Let's drop in Giannis next to some of these other guys we have locked in. Even if it costs us a lot, we can take that leap immediately. Like, Atlanta hasn't signaled they want to. But again, when's the last time Atlanta accomplished anything in the East? And if you have Giannis and Jalen Johnson, I think you at least have a shot to. So I think the Bucks' hope is that, like the Dame situation, somebody else jumps in. And maybe that's Boston just going all out, finding the perfect third team, or someone else. I mean, they've poo-pooed it at every step. But, like, if Oklahoma City, what if they just go, we could still have picks left over and we could get this guy on our team? Like, it wouldn't be like them, but I do wonder if there's just a certain point where a team out there goes, we can beat either of those offers. We can do it directly. The third team adds complication. Let's call the Bucks. I think that's kind of what the Bucks are holding out for, and I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. There's just not that many times where you can add a player of this caliber, even with the age and contract stuff that Giannis has.
All right, well, Ty Windisch, who covers Giannis and the Bucks, Sports Illustrated, Eurostep Podcast. Ty, maybe we'll be having a completely different conversation just days from now.
We're supposed to go down in a week, you know. The mandate, I think, from the owner there, right, Ty, is get it done before the draft next week.
Yeah, we should know by next week. Either Signal is going to sign the extension and maybe they get a tampering charge, or or there's a trade announced by them. So, yeah, I'd be happy to come back and talk about it and talk a little bit about his game if he's actually going to be a Celtic. And I think that's certainly on the table at this point.
And the Celtics will have made their big move, bringing back Kelly Olynyk.
And LeBron.
It was nice to see him at the finals. That was quite something. All right, well, Ty, great stuff. Thanks for coming on with us,
thanks,
man. We appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Ty.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, we're going to take your calls next. A lot of people pissed that we believe that Jason Tatum is a better player than Jaylen Brown. I, as I said, Jaylen Brown's a great player. But, I mean, please, prove me wrong. I just, right now, the one thing that's got me excited is that after I heard what Miami had offered, and it sounded like not much, it made me think, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, Brad Stevens could cobble up something that gets him here and you keep the Jays together. And if that happens, now we are effing talking. Now we're talking.
But doesn't Jaylen hate Giannis, or is that overblown?
Oh, if they're playing together, they're both going to be excited as hell. They're both, because they both know that they're the favorites right now already, according to you in the East,
they
which is insane. But, I mean, they're really the favorites. They'll be the favorites in the NBA, which doesn't always work out, but nonetheless, it's exciting to talk about. But 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls. 2 minutes. We're not going anywhere. We'll be right back. Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, yeah, baby, baby. It's like company picnic music.
This is BTO. How dare you?
Oh, did you choose this?
Yes, yes. And because it goes with Jaylen saying, my best days are ahead. So it's thematic.
This is like at my dad's company picnic. It's time to get a little crazy. Going to bring out the boxed wine.
It is kind of a like a Wegmans song now.
I do love that any band we mention, you're going to have a strong reaction. One way
I, am,
or the other.
I am, I am.
You're going to have an opinion on it.
This is not a band that I like or I don't like. It just reminds me of just like, I'm around older people who are in polos and getting a little loose and snapping the fingers.
Canadian rock.
We're going to get drunk in front of a boss.
what did you think of Cheeseburger in Paradise?
Jimmy Buffett.
What did you think of Jimmy Buffett?
Jimmy Buffett reminded me of Big Cash Babysitting, because I used to, there was a neighborhood, the people in our neighborhood who used to go to Jimmy Buffett every time he was in town. And I remember there was one time they got so loaded that the dad came back and I think he thought he was putting two 20s in my hand, but he put two $100 bills in my hand. I was like 15 years old. Yeah. I was like, woo! And I got home, I'm like, look what Mr. Jensen gave me. And my mom immediately
went.
You made
you go back.
She said, you're returning that.
You should have said anything to your mom.
I was
that
like,
was it.
That's his fault. He's the dumbass who got drunk. You know? So that's what it reminds me of hitting it big, hitting, you know, Eureka when you're in 15. All right. So we were just talking about this story is so great because there's so many angles and it's turned in so many different directions. You know, Giannis at first, there was like, we were being mocked by the people of Milwaukee that you think you can just give up Jaylen and that's it. No, we want the king's ransom. Give us all.
No Jaylen, no Giannis.
Yeah, right. And now you're hearing that Miami's just willing to give up Tyler Herro, and there's the 13th pick, but I mean, sure, fine. I mean, it's Tyler Herro. And so, obviously, Brad Stevens looked at that and goes, well, that's the offer that seems to be floating out there. Maybe I can cobble up something better that doesn't involve the Jays. And that's what Gary Washburn said. And if that's the case, oh my. But in the meanwhile, I did make a statement that I said, because somebody called in and was like, why are you looking forward to get rid of Jaylen Brown? No, on the contrary. What I'm saying is that there's a lot of people who unfortunately are taking the things that he said at the end of the season, and it's clouding their vision of how good of a basketball player he is. And it's just, that's the way it goes. Sometimes if you just keep your mouth shut, you will be remembered in a different way. People won't want to see you go out the door. It's human nature.
Yeah, you know what it is for me? It just, all it did was, it was the thing that pushed me over. I think he's a great basketball player.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's, I don't think it's going to work with him and JT here. So if they're not getting rid of JT, and that is, you know, JB kind of showed really, I think, his true colors in a sense that I don't think those two can work together. Oh, but they've already done it once. Again, it was, to me, they had a layup of a kind of a, you know, schedule in the East, and then they played the fifth-seeded team from the West in the finals and won.
He's gone. They're moving him.
I think he said at the end of the season, just to me, was like, all right, I'm done with JB. Can we please split up these guys and just go a different direction?
They sound like an excuse is not.
It would be interesting because, to me, I think that they're going to try to get Giannis without getting rid of Jaylen Brown. And if they get that, then obviously they're perfectly fine, but who knows? Let's go to Mike G on line two. Mike, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
J, Gentlemen, how are you guys doing?
Hey,
listen, great show.
Thanks.
If I was with you in the studio, I'd be doing a fist bump with, as a minimum, Ted and Ken. Ken, I used to call in on your Saturday show.
How can I earn a fist bump, Mike G? I'm sitting here.
Middle finger to Rich.
Give me a little fist bump.
Give him the thumbs down.
I thought you might be defending Brown. Let's be totally transparent with each
other.
I played basketball for 40 years of my life, starting when I was a kid.
Yeah, let him talk. Let him talk.
No, I just say that. I've coached it. I've played it. I'm not a great player, right? I'm 6'4", white guy. You know what that means.
But
right?
You know the game.
You don't play beyond a certain level. I know the game. Here's the deal. If you look at the history of the NBA, the teams that won championships, and key with plural, S, more than one, because one is a fluke. Ted just alluded to our most recent championship where we basically had a cakewalk. Okay, you have to have an agreement on the team and the coaching staff who the alpha dog is. Since Tatum arrived in Boston, anyone that really knows the game of basketball knows that Tatum is a better basketball player than Jaylen Brown. He is a more complete basketball player, as evidenced by, I think he's been first-team All-NBA 5 times. Brown hasn't been first-team once. So you look at the Bulls.
I'm sorry, Mike. I got to interrupt. Who won Finals MVP when the Celtics won the championship?
Which real basketball team, or excuse me, basketball fan didn't scratch their head when that was announced? Do you know that Tatum is the only one of 5 people who have led their team in playoffs in scoring, rebounding, and assist, and the team won, that did not win the MVP in the finals?
Mike G, we agree on one thing. I think Tatum is a better player, but you're making it sound like that they can't work together, that there has to be an agreed alpha, they can work together. They have worked together. Yeah. They've been to finals, multiple finals. The evidence is there. They absolutely can.
It's a new world.
I mean, Ted Johnson and Ken on this.
Yeah, we're with you, Mike.
Stiz, get on the mic. Thank you, Mike, for your call. Stiz,
thank you, Mike.
What did you just say, Stiz?
I came down here about 5-6 years ago to WEI and Sports Radio.
Did you play basketball for 40 years?
They've been saying this every year.
Yes.
Every year.
It's true.
It's different. The genie's out of the bottle.
Stop.
This was the Jaylen Brown. Yep. I'm the man
Stop.
Here.
Yep.
Different side of JB.
And then I just think, I don't know. Cat's out of the bag. You can't say what he said. I think it's just done. It's
no,
over.
Stiz, you're Jaylen, right.
We're playing the hits right now.
Jaylen, no Giannis.
Let's go to Casey on line one. What's up, Casey? How you doing?
Hey, guys. So my thing is you with keeping Tatum, you're not worried about him being injury prone after his Achilles?
Okay, can I tell you this? You know, Jaylen Brown has missed more games than Jason Tatum.
And he's got some knee issues.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think of his career.
Over his career. He's played one more season, but there's a perception that Jason Tatum is more injury prone than Jaylen Brown. You got to remember, Jaylen Brown's had some serious time out.
No. I'm not saying he's injury prone. I'm saying in the future. You're not worried about that injury in the future?
Not really. The procedure's good. You guys usually come back, and they might not be the best players they've ever been before the injury, but the injury doesn't really preclude them from getting another injury right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. And there is part of me that thinks, nightmare scenario. You trade Jaylen Brown for Giannis. You bring Giannis in here. Giannis is broken because he gets broken easily. And then Jason Tatum isn't the same Jason Tatum from his injury as well. And you have these two men. Then you have Garrett Crochet and Roman Anthony on the Boston Celtics.
Let's not compare that.
No, but I'm just saying that's something that you can think of. I know it's worst case scenario, but it's not unrealistic entirely.
What about Will Campbell's knee? What about Drake May's shoulder?
Sure, that could be the case. By the way, this is hysterical. So ESPN must know something. Because you sent this to me early today, and now I'm seeing it in its entirety. The 2027 NBA championship odds are out.
Yeah.
First of all, it's shocking as hell that the Knicks have 3 teams ahead of them and 1 team in the East. So right now they think that the team that has the best chance of winning the championship next year is the San Antonio Spurs. That is not a hot take. That is a very good team that's just going to get better. They're so young. Yep. Matter of fact, I would probably put money on the Spurs right now if I had to. Number 2, Oklahoma City Thunder.
No surprise.
Another great one. Yep. Sure, fine.
I think OKC, by the way, should be in on the Giannis sweepstakes. Don't you think they should? If a team that needs to maximize now?
Dude.
Maybe. It depends on what they have to give up.
They have plenty to give up. I mean, I think they could afford to get some of their better you know, better players, man, to get Giannis.
But he might not want to go there.
Then third best odds is not the New York Knicks. It is the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
So just to tell you, just this isn't like a precipitous drop. It goes San Antonio Spurs plus 250, then plus 260 for the Thunder. And then it goes plus 550, and the Knicks are plus 650. So, I mean, there's no way they're looking at the team as constituted and thinking that's what's going to go into this season. They've got to assume that there's going to be a major change.
You think Giannis is baked into that?
I think that when you make these odds, you have to predict the future, mm-hmm. essentially, you know, because it's better for your money. It protects the house money better.
You want even money on both sides. So you want equal money bet on all these teams. So that's what I guess they feel like is going to – it's fascinating that the people just don't think the dynasties will happen. Like, nobody's going to bet the Knicks.
Knocked well, they haven't off the for past a while. 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I know. It's definitely
the Knicks are not repeating. Are you kidding me? No way.
I mean, OG and Anoy might never get. He's gonna be high all year.
They're one and done, baby.
There was an interview he did on Good Morning America. It was like all the members of the starting five. And OG Anunoby, there's some sort of joke that was made where they're all laughing and OG Anunoby is staring into nothingness and does not move.
He's still going, baby. He's still partying. Still going, man.
As he should. All right. It's 617-779-7935. We will take your calls. I'm sorry, 7937. I love this call that's on line one because all it says is, want to tell Ted how wrong he is. All right, so.
Not to his face, you wouldn't.
You would not. So we will take that call and all the rest of them here in just a moment. It is 937 WEEI, Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson, and I swear there is something dividing this town. Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's you, media people.
apparently, right down the middle, you are either Team Tatum or Team Brown.
Mm-hmm.
There it seems to be like nothing in the middle. As a matter of fact, for the first time, I opened up the text machine here, and let me just read you a couple of things. This is great. So it's I think Jason Tatum is a better player for sure. My problem with him is he's such a crybaby winebag. He needs to grow up and be a leader. And then somebody said, this is all in all caps, so you know he's very angry. Any real basketball fans knows Tatum is soft and wastes his talent shooting 10 for 11 threes a game. And then he says, man, Ken and Ted, your hate for Jalen is showing through the radio. My God, this is why top free agents don't want to come here because of people like you. We are that powerful. We keep them away. But we'll take your call, 617-779-7937. John, what's happening, man? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? Thanks for taking my call, taking a break from the Scottish culture talk. I like a little Celtic talk.
We love the Scottish culture talk.
Norway at five.
Well, Norway's got the guys rowing. You know, they're doing all the Vikings. You know, they're rowing on the stairs and stuff like that. It's kind of fun.
So, Ted, I love when you qualify like championship wins as if it, like they're meaningless. Like, do you think people in Green Bay or NFL people go, you know, that in 97 when the Packers beat the Patriots, it was really meaningless because the coach checked out and, you know, like the team was over, that Patriots team was overrated. No, they absolutely know that it was because Desmond Howard toasted you guys left and right. So when you say things that are stupid, like they didn't really work together, you sound so dumb and so petty. Like, they absolutely did and have worked together. They won a championship. They went to the seventh game of the Eastern Conference Finals. Oh, they went to the NBA Finals previous to that. They also were in the Eastern Conference Finals previous to that. Like, I think sometimes you, like, don't watch the games very much, mm-hmm. and I think you forget that things, like, have actually happened.
Okay.
A personal shot.
Oh, wow. Man, a lot. Boy, that was
sometimes tough. It does sound like people Adam are doing Vinatieri. Their calls in front of a mirror.
John, right? Adam got clipped on that play, by the way. He should have been a penalty on that, that run back from Desmond Howard.
Ref screwed you.
I'm just suggesting that the Celtics had an easy pass to that that finals, I don't think is that all that debatable. The star of every team they played in the East was hurt for that Eastern Conference run. And then they played again. The Dallas Mavericks were the fifth seed in the West, so it was an easy path to get there. I don't know what his other point was, but I did watch all the games too, John. So I don't know what his overall point was in that, but.
Well, my whole thing is that wasn't the first year they'd made it to the finals. Like, I mean, they've been successful. I mean, just think about how many. I think Tatum and Jalen might have played more games in the postseason. Like, they're in the top.
Yeah.
It's like the top five or six players that are in the NBA right now. They've played more games in the playoffs than I think all but, like, it's like five or six players. Obviously, LeBron being up there and some of the old farts. But, I mean, they just, every year. They're in the conversation. Yep. They're in it.
But they're in it, but it's like, are they truly contenders? You know, they're in it. Yeah, they're in it to win 50 games. They're in it to, you know, maybe go to the second round, maybe the Eastern Conference Finals. But are they in it to win the whole thing?
They've been truly contenders, I would say, maybe three of the seasons. Would you say truly contenders three seasons? The year they won it, they made it to the finals the other time. They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, where they lost in Game 7.
Lost to Golden State in the finals.
So that's, I would say, right there, I mean, you can instantly say they're contenders three times. You make it to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, you're a contender. And then you make it to the finals, you're obviously a contender versus Golden State, and you win it. Mm-hmm. So
lost the Heat in seventh game.
Yeah.
That year sucked.
That year did suck.
I mean, they've been in it, I think, legitimately for five straight years.
I just think I don't think they can bust through. I mean, they can knock on the door. You know, you can put a step foot in. But I just think with these two guys, I think you are they're done winning championships. Can they go second round of playoffs? Sure. But I think their ceiling has dropped a little bit since they last won it 2 years ago.
There is a time, Ted, and I think we've talked about this before, where, you know, you can change. You can change as a player. You can say, now that I've seen what I can do on my own, like Jaylen Brown did, I no longer feel like I want to be that guy anymore who's just playing alongside Jason Tatum.
Right.
I want to be
the man. Which made it workable,
yep.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, this happens a lot with teams where you change your perception of yourself. You change your perception of who you want to be as far as a player on a team. And also there might be outside factors like, I just don't like this management anymore. I don't like constantly being mentioned in trades. I want to go somewhere else, and this just doesn't feel right to me. There can be a million outside factors that can change. I mean, up to this point, I believe that there was no problem with them playing together. But you're right. Something could it certainly feels, if there was ever a turning point with Jaylen Brown, we're pretty close to it. Don't you feel that way?
I do.
This team, as currently constructed, still lives by the three and dies by it, as we saw in all four losses to the Heat. They shot under 30% in their two losses to the Knicks the year prior. They shot 25% from deep. For whatever reason, they cannot adapt. They need a forced stylistic change.
Yes.
Not
yes.
Jaylen Brown's fault.
I like that. So basically, if you keep Jaylen Brown, you're basically going to run the same system you've always run. And does anybody want to see that? Does anybody think that's the formula?
Reggie Miller is mocking you. He's one of the great three-point shooters of all time.
So sorry, if you have to break up one of the two wings, it's going to be JB. And so
it's just the way we're
and hopefully, like you say, Ken, that will force them to stylistically change how they play basketball.
Do you think that, you had Colin Cowherd there, that Giannis is going to come out and just say, I need this trade?
Well, but if he wants to go to Miami, then he's got to, because that's the only thing the only way he's going to get down there is he forces his way down there, because the offer isn't as good as what the Celtics can give him.
And if Bill Simmons
is right in that
the
sense.
The Celtics have made an offer. What do you think? Do you think that's only your plan to get all the big three?
Yes. I think there's no question. I think you have to make that your first offer.
Yeah.
Because you have to at least try to not get it. You can't just go straight to Jaylen Brown. You have to work your way up to Jaylen Brown and think, I mean, because you never know. You could be surprised. You could throw that out there, and they're like, sure, yes, we need to get rid of Giannis. Absolutely, take our trash.
Does this feel like JB's offseason, where he's – have you ever seen him act and behave the way he's acting this offseason? So I feel like that's going to reflect in their play. I think it's a even more difficult partnership and more kind of convoluted than it was even before. So I don't trust these two to figure it out together.
I think somebody like Giannis on this team, like if they were to bring in Giannis and didn't have to get rid of the two Jays, I think it's one of those deals where both players are going to be so excited that they've got this huge boost to their chances of winning another championship, that whatever weirdness they may have between them, they'll be able to put behind them and try to do it. Now, there's somebody on text who says, there's no way Jaylen Brown's going to be third fiddle. And I don't know if he looks at him that way. That's an interesting point.
You're still going to make all the money you can make, and you're going to win. You have a better chance of winning championships. If he didn't like being the third fiddle, that says more about JB, man.
Sure. Because
you're still going to get your money. You're not going to be the third lowest paid player on the team.
Yeah. Get out there and get another championship. Go down with the greats. It's one thing to win one, and we've seen it a lot in this NBA, where you win one, you take your foot off the gas. Go out and be one of the greats. You know, be that dog that, you know, everyone's talking about. Jaylen Brown seems to be the one dog on this team who just, give me the ball. Prove it. Prove it. Get with these. You know what? How about this?
I mean,
win another finals MVP over Giannis and Tatum, and you will solidify that you, yes, are indeed the alpha.
What's exciting for Tatum is, and I think one of the guys, we've had a million sound bites, but somebody made this point, and I agree. This could unlock something for Tatum we haven't seen. Having Giannis on this team changes the whole way he plays his whole career.
He's never had a tool like this.
Yep.
Never had like a big man that can, you know, he can facilitate. Oh my God.
He could be Paul Pierce, you know, or greater, you know.
Sure.
He's got that ability already.
There's no question. All right, 617-779-7937. There is a little bit of Patriots news that I do want to get to here in just a moment, and we'll take your calls as well. We'll be right back. Sugar! It is 93.7 WEEI. You got the instrumental version, right?
I thought that was your Scottish accent again.
It's about to kick in. Oh, no. And this is where it gets all ballsy. And Serge Tankian starts going. One more, one more, one more, one more, one more, one more, one more.
And you,
ooh, what the arena, ooh, what the arena, make your children brain.
This is also BTO, right? Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Sugar!
Wow, oh, you guys.
you would like that band. You would actually.
Ted is regretting his decision to be part of this program.
I remember the first time I saw them, I had never heard their stuff. They were on side stage at Ozfest. They're called System of a Down, and they were so weird. Yet so heavy at the same time, you would actually enjoy that band.
Lead singer, his voice is actually pretty incredible.
Yeah, like Aerials is a great song, and he does sing through most of that. But like Darren, the guitarist, is also very strange and odd. You'd like that band. You would. That's a Rick Rubin band right there.
Okay.
There you go, Ted. So
take your word for it.
All right, 617-779-7937. I love when Stiz just throws stuff at me like that. By the way, real quick, just side note. I think that horror movies lately... I've never been a fan of like slasher films. I think they're dumb. Like,
I agree.
I've never liked Freddy and all that stuff. To me, I never thought they were great. But there's something that's going on in the horror genre right now that they're making movies that are almost, they've tapped into something, because not only are they really interesting and original, but there's a fear that some of them put in their films that feels primal. Like, it hits a part in me that I'm like, dude, this is really legitimately scary. Mm. Like, movies like Hereditary that
like
have
it could almost happen, kind of?
Kind
like
of.
Or far-fetched that it could actually happen to you.
Sure, maybe. Like maybe not. Like Midsommar. Did you ever see that one? Like, where they go to this festival out in the middle of Sweden, and it's the whole movie. Usually, like, scary movies are in the dark. It's about they go to a part of the world where it's sunshine almost all day, and so it's like the scariest movie, but the sun's out the entire time. It's terrifying. It's like everything's turning their head. But there is a trailer for a new movie that I saw that it might have unlocked something in me that is like some sort of nightmare that's in the back of my head, and I don't know where it came from, but I have not stopped thinking about this trailer for about 24 hours. It's a movie called Whale Fall. And at the beginning of it, it's got Josh Brolin, you know, Thanos, Josh Brolin talking.
Oh, he's in everything. He's on Weapons?
He was in Weapons,
yes.
Yep.
Oh, that's right.
Absolutely. He was in Sicario, which, by the way, is
great.
Great.
Oh, Teddy made us all watch it.
It's so good.
Ted, if there's any movie to sit them down and watch,
the
Sicario was a great
pick. Sucked, but
It did.
It was awful. Awful.
It's so funny. You and I are on the same page. Yep. I was very disappointed. But the trailer starts off and he's talking to his young son and then he's teaching his son how to scuba dive. They apparently live somewhere on the coast that's kind of dark and you can't tell if it's like Maine or something like that. And they get kind of in a fight and you can tell the dad's kind of an alcoholic. You don't know what's going on. And then the son goes scuba diving and it's filmed underneath the water. And while he's scuba diving, he happens to run into this, like right next to him, this gigantic sperm whale, like massive, that just happens to go right by him. And you can hear him like, you know, with his mask on. And next thing you know, this whale comes out of nowhere and knocks into him and flips him around. And the trailer is he gets caught by the arm of an octopus that the whale is swallowing. And it grabs onto his leg and swallows the guy whole. And the movie is he's got to get out of the whale.
Man.
He's been swallowed by an effing whale, and the movie is Escape the Whale, and inside the whale, and the way
how long is the movie? I mean, I don't know. 5 minutes?
But it looks like the most claustrophobic thing. Like, when he gets sucked in, first of all, it shows a lot in the trailer. I mean, it shows a guy gets swallowed. But inside, like, the whale has swallowed not only him, but, like, these two octopuses, which is just, like, pulling on him. And, like, there's other animals, like a squid in there. And it's, like, the thing starts trapping him. And then all of a sudden it gets dark. And I'm like, oh!
And I think you're right. Talking about tapping into, like, a primal thing. Like, I kind of have thalassophobia. And for anybody that doesn't know what that is, it's almost like I kind of have a fear of the ocean by how vast it is,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The giant and mm-hmm. bigness of the ocean kind of freaks me out.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep. I get it.
And
it
Ted, Rich, true. I don't know if you know this, Ted, professional scuba diver.
Oh, really?
I got about 50 open water dives, yep.
Oh, that's right. Wow.
Yep.
That's great.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's too probably too long to tell, but my first open water dive was in the Cayman Islands, and it was a shipwreck about 300 yards offshore. I almost died.
Oh, what?
In my first ever open water dive.
What happened?
Octopus?
Nope. I was with my brother and sister-in-law, and they hadn't dove in about a year, and my sister-in-law was kind of, as we were doing our descent, very nervous. You could tell she was just fidgeting, but we're giving her the okay sign. I was fresh off my course at Colorado. I was just going into my first year with the Patriots, and so I know everything to do. I put everything, pop, 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 and I'm ready to go. And we start our descent, and we're on the ocean floor. It's about 85 feet deep where the shipwreck was. My brother was standing on the ocean floor. I was just above him, and I felt something kick me from behind. And I turned, and my sister-in-law, her eyes are this wide, and she does not have a regulator in her mouth.
Oh, geez.
There's nothing in her mouth. And she reaches out and she grabs me and she pulls me in and she starts, you know, going crazy.
Convulsing.
Panicking.
And I take my regulator out and I put it in her mouth and I start kicking and I start kicking. And I'm thinking, oh, holy crap. And I'm trying to pull the regulator out so you can buddy breathe. That's what you're taught to do. If there's something happens to the regulator,
yeah,
you take yours out, you give it to the person, and then you take it. Brother, I held my breath for 85 feet all the way to the top. My sister never gave the regulator back to me.
Did you hate her forever?
No. I just kicked, and you're not supposed to ascend that fast because you get what they call the bends.
Oh, yeah. That's
somehow
real.
I did not get the bends. We were drinking a Red Stripe and about 30 minutes later, and we go, what the hell happened out there, Shannon?
My God.
She goes, I was hyperventilating, and I thought something was wrong with my equipment, and I thought I was going to die. And that's what happened. So when people say, you know, if someone freaks out underwater, they can kill other people in the water.
Oh, sure.
That almost happened to me on my very first short dive ever as an open water diver.
So you saved her life, and she almost took yours.
Correct.
It happens with people drowning, too.
Correct.
Like sometimes you have to be very careful if you're trying to save someone from drowning.
That's
sometimes
right.
They tell you to punch them, like literally knock them out because they can panic and put you in harm's way.
I just remember looking up and seeing the top of the water and just thinking how far it was and how long I had to go before I was kicking us. And you know what was interesting is my brother reached up and he grabbed my fin and pulled off one of my fins and I didn't realize it.
Oh, geez.
He saw us going up so fast, he was worried about the bends. And so I kicked with one foot the whole way up and held my breath. Somehow I did not get the bends, and that was my first open water dive. And so we waited for our next dive the next day and went on like a nice little 30-footer.
You went the next day?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Got to get back on the horse, brother. Got to get back on the horse.
Man. Yeah, well, then this trailer is really going to make you insane.
Oh,
because it's this terrifying kid who just goes like scuba diving. It's. I mean, it looks, as I said, it's this. I don't find guys chasing you with like a butcher knife or whatever like that scary. That's a legit fear. It's a fear I didn't even know I had until I watched the trailer, that I'm going to go like swimming and I'm going to get swallowed by a whale and I'm going to have to find my way out.
It's hard to watch Josh Brolin and not think he's Thanos, though. That's going to throw me off in this whole movie.
I think he's Brand from the Goonies. I'll always think he's Brand from the Goonies.
Was he a little kid in that movie?
He was the older brother.
I
got to go back, look at that again.
He was the older brother that got stuck with the kids.
They tie him up on the chair.
Oh, yeah, with his workout little thing there. Yep, absolutely. All right, so, by the way, this is weird. I just thought I'd mention this because I looked down, and I think that there's some creepy people in the world. I guess that after I was making fun of Taylor Swift for not being a real Knicks fan because the series before, she was courtside with her fiance, like, who is rooting for the Cavaliers who are playing the Knicks. And I heard a bunch of people say, well, she wasn't standing up and rooting for the Cavaliers. I'm like, yeah, but she's talking like she's Captain Knicks fan. Why didn't you wear any Knicks gear at the game? If you're a Knicks fan and you're courtside for the Knicks game and you're not wearing Knicks gear, then you were rooting for the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
Then that was because he was sitting there wearing a big Travis Kelce had a big Cavs thing and chugging a beer. Woo! I can't stand him. But nonetheless, those two seats, the ones they were sitting in, got auctioned off.
What?
Yeah, they did the courtside seats, and they weren't, the memorabilia company wasn't allowed to use their names because they didn't endorse it. So they called it a chair of a 14-time Grammy Award winner and a Kansas City Super Bowl champion.
Who's going to pay for those?
What the hell?
That's what so dumb. Kind of weirdo bought Taylor Swift's seat for $7,000?
$7,000.
That's ridiculous.
Mm, bring this over here.
Sniff it. Sniff the seat. Seriously.
It's really gross because, like, I guess Chalamet's and Kendall Jenner's were sold too. What? Chalamet's was sold for like $1,000. Kendall Jenner's was like $4,000.
Jeez.
There's just some weirdos out there, man. Yeah, there total is. Weirdos. All right. 617-779-7937. You can give us a call. When we get back, let's talk a little bit about the anniversary of the Rafael Devers trade.
Oh, great.
How bad did things work out?
Still promising.
It's still promising. And also, we will take your calls as well. We still got Jason Jalen ones on hold. So maybe we'll get to those as well. 2 minutes. We'll be right back.